Welcome to Get Up in the Cool, old-time music with Cameron DeWitt and friends. This week's friend is one of my favorite flat pickers, songwriters, and old-time musicians, Ethan Hawkins. I met him at Mount Airy a couple years ago and immediately got a big ol' crush on him. He's a very good guitarist with a dreamy voice, and he's a very animated performer, so I'm really glad I got him on video. Oh, yeah, I recorded this all on video. Eventually, I'll make a full video episode of this interview, but for now, you might see some videos crop up in the next couple weeks of maybe some of the individual tunes. For this week's bonus track, we jammed on Eck Robertson's Grigsby's Hornpipe, which is one of the most fiddle-specific tunes in the old-time canon. So if you want to hear how we managed to play that tune with flat-picking guitar and clawhammer banjo, there's details on how to access that video after the interview, so stick around. Let's get started. Ethan Hawkins, everybody. Enjoy.
That was like the popular tune for a while there, like 1 to 2 years ago. I remember everybody played that at Clifftop.
It's kind of the perfect tune, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a really good tune. And so there's so much quarterly you can do with that.
Yeah, it's sure. Definitely wide open. Something about tunes that have three parts.
Yeah.
I feel like you could just keep doing them forever. Just keep rolling.
There's nowhere to end.
Wow. Ethan Hawkins. Welcome to Get Up in the Cool.
DeWitt. Thank
Finally,
you.
Finally, I tracked you down. After came to your house.
I've been running from you, man.
Well, glad I'm here.
Yeah, dude, I'm glad you're here too. And you're within spitting distance now. Yeah. So you're just still down in, you're in Pittsburgh?
Philadelphia.
You're in Philadelphia. Wow. That's a big mistake. Well, edit that out later.
So I don't know very much about you, because usually when we get together, we just start playing music right away.
Yeah.
Don't do that much talking. So this is a great excuse to like take some little breaks in between playing tunes. So I can like ask you personal questions.
Just in front of the microphone, just cameras on.
Yeah. So what I wanted to ask was, what's your pathway into traditional music? Did you start? Did you grow up with it?
Essentially, my father played bluegrass music, so I got dragged around to like festivals like Galax and this festival called Amelia and a whole bunch of other stuff. And he's a guitar picker too. He actually gave me this guitar to play, and I've been playing this since I was 14.
That's awesome.
So I got into old time music because I felt like the bluegrass scene was a little it was a little much for me to handle. I didn't really know the songs very well, and I liked tunes more. So I met these people when I was 18. I was working at Stelling Banjo, and I met Colby Peg Joplin and Sam Stallings and Shona Carr. They were just starting this band. They were calling it an indie country band.
Uh-huh.
And Stan. And I started learning how to play. Scott Friend, too. Scott and Ian Friend were some of the first people I started learning about old time with. So that was really, like, I had already started playing tunes through bluegrass music, but that really set me off. Yeah, for sure. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, definitely. My impression is that, like, the bluegrass community is, like, pretty, like, intense, and like the expectations are kind of like you're expected to be very athletic in your musicianship
for sure. Athletic but simple, softly spoken, but very, very widely. I mean, they expect you to have this. There's definitely like a way to talk around bluegrass musicians.
Yeah,
you kind of put on a southern accent and. And just start talking about farming and stuff. No, that's not right. But just simple stuff like working on cars and oh, I saw this cool thing at the gas station the other day or whatever.
Is this like a caricature right now? Or are you serious? Like this like when you hang out in bluegrass circles, how you talk.
I feel like my being around my father, he put on more of an accent when he got.
All right.
And I'm starting to think about it. I'm starting to put on an accent right now.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. Like, seriously. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's definitely a thing. But it's so much fun being around those people. They're great people. It's just high expectations, and I was not at that point yet.
Right. So playing old-time tunes. I don't know of very many traditional, like, guitar players who play like all the fiddle notes like you do. Like, how'd you get into your style of playing old time tunes?
Well, I liked flat picking.
Yeah.
I love flat picking and I like the way it sounds, but I just became enamored with the way the fiddle works, because it's such a broadly, it's just all over genres everywhere.
Yep.
It's so broadly accepted. And I mean, it's in jazz, old time, Cajun. I mean, everything. It drives a bunch of different kinds of music. And the rhythm patterns that it's able to, like, conceivably make are amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, I just started really liking how the fiddle sounded.
Did you have to, like, change any way that you play? Do you have to ever navigate certain contexts in different groups of old time musicians? Like, is Ethan the guitarist like with one group of folks in the old time scene different than Ethan playing with with your crew? You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
How do you play differently? Like,
yeah, I mean, I actually had a conversation about this with Alan Kaufman. I feel like a good musician should be able to take on the vocabulary, if you will, of anybody they're around. So if like a certain fiddle player wants you, instead of doing this like gallopy strum, instead of that, they want you to do, then you do it and you know how to do it because it's the dialect that they speak.
Right.
Essentially. I mean, I feel like I identify closest with that path of logic or mode of thinking.
Right.
And it's out of respect for the people who've come before me. Of course, there are still those guys who are still Nazi-ish about how guitar is played in old time music. But I don't see why it can't be ever changing. I mean, it was for the longest time.
Yeah.
I mean, you got bands like the Horseflies, and even most recently like Galen's The Buck Stops Here. She did an amazing job. All of those the members in that band, Rebecca and Shona and Julie, they did an amazing job transforming that music into a new palatable thing.
For sure.
So if you're going to play with people, you got to know what they want to hear.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
Ever changing.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, I like that idea because like I think maybe some guitarists or like bassists or other like maybe traditionally sort of support instruments. Maybe even some people really specifically see the banjo that way too. But like feel like some people might feel sort of limited or like I'm doing a service as opposed to like I'm like on the same level or something. But I like your idea of like there's like we're doing a collaborative thing together and like. Sometimes it calls for me to do a straight up boom chuck.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can change it up. Sometimes I'll play all the notes.
Well, there's this fella down in Stanton who I played music a number of years with. His name's Chris Davis. He used to do sound for a bunch of different bands. But he told me, and this stuck with me, if you aren't having fun playing old time guitar, you're not doing it right.
Yeah,
for sure. Backing up people is very important to know how to do.
Yeah,
it's definitely like a tip of the hat.
Right.
I hear what you're saying. I hope you hear what I'm saying too.
Totally.
For sure.
You want to play this next one?
Yeah, let's play this. That being said.
Yeah. So I taught you this tune.
Yeah.
On fiddle.
Where were we?
We were at at the Brandywine. It wasn't the festival, but it was the site of the festival at the farmhouse, and it was a Halloween party.
Whose house was that? I know I met her, but I can't remember her name.
Claire Milliner's mom's house or something.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think she actually lives there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was a party.
It was a good party.
I love this team too. Who's this written by again?
Don Stratton.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I played it. Sorry, Don. I played it with like cross G instead of in standard because I'm bad at playing fiddle. It's easier to play in cross.
Yeah.
And I did it faster because it's really hard to play slow fiddle.
Yeah.
And I didn't do any of the long tones because that's also really hard.
Right. But
so that was my limitations, and now that's how we're going to play it.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. New Harbor. Thanks, Don.
You want to start it off?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, man.
It's a good tune, Don.
It's a great tune.
You did it.
Well, well written, man. Oh,
yeah.
That recording sounds great, too. Alan Kaufman and him. Oh.
Yeah, man. That's a really good album.
Mm-hmm.
I just, at the time of recording this, I just released a Don's episode. And I was just saying how, like, I seldom hear, like, two different original tune players, like, make an album together that's, like, it makes so much sense. Like, mm-hmm. there's a real synergy there where it's like they sound better together.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, yeah. it doesn't just sound like a mixtape. It's just like it's really good.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's and it's very like it's good to have new tunes out there to learn. Like, you know, you think about like all the tunes that came about that aren't traditional, but everybody plays the hell out of them, like Road Malvern and
all the Gary Harrison tunes.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, they're traditional now.
People like that.
Yeah,
it'd be monstrous if we didn't have heroes to hang out with.
Yeah,
it would blow. It would be terrible.
If we didn't have heroes to hang out with, it would blow. It would be terrible.
My fault. I know.
No, that's the tagline of that's the tagline.
Ethan Hawkins.
It would blow. Okay, good.
Oh man.
So you're also a songwriter,
not just
a tune player, and writer of tunes, but you write songs.
Yeah, yeah. I actually came here to learn how to write better.
Here being Boston.
Yeah, yeah. Boston, the neighborhoods of Boston.
Yeah,
I auditioned for Berklee about a year and a half ago. No, 2 years. It'll be 2 years. And, man, I came here to study. Lo and behold, it is really expensive to get a scooter. or anywhere, really. Yeah. And, but I've been learning quickly that that is okay. And it all reflects on like just who you're playing around.
Yeah.
So I still get to play music with my heroes. But I came to study. One of the people I really wanted to study with was Mark Simos, and he, you actually just recorded one of his episodes, I'm pretty sure, and he gave me an assignment, and I still need to turn that thing in, man. I don't know.
How long ago did he give that to you?
He gave it to me in the summertime.
Yeah.
I was, I guess I was too enthralled with what I was doing and too embarrassed that I couldn't figure it out to ask him anything about it. And I didn't pay him for it, so I can't just go to him and be like, I really need help. Well, I'm sorry, I've got 50 other people to teach. Figure it out, buddy. But that's how, he is definitely not that kind of person.
It's just, yeah.
It's just my fear. But no, he's a great person, great songwriter. I really like him. He, but I really wanted to study with him. And Bruce Molsky is actually teaching up here in Boston.
Yeah.
I really wanted to. I've gotten to play with him a couple times, and
this is a place around to play acoustic music. It really at like a is, performance man. Level is well, Boston. You
it's,
know,
it's, like, it's also a place to like spread out and do something new and original. It's a crossover
yeah.
between all folk musics. I mean, Canadians represented here. Scottish is highly represented in the north. Scottish and Irish music, and I know Irish and Scottish people really get bummed when you don't when you can't tell the difference between. I can't. Maybe somebody else does. Probably like trying to tell the difference between bluegrass and old time.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Seems so obvious to us, but
yeah. But
I've
been enjoying my time here in Boston for sure.
We were gonna play your song.
Oh, the songwriting thing. Okay. Well, here we go. Said, hey, darling, I tried to speak my piece last time I saw you. I'm sorry for the fool I've been. Such a short time. Times before they went so easy and she's so pretty. Yeah, thank you for the shape I'm in. Tell me, honey, how's your family been? A timeless blessing. And I've been weeping for a broken-hearted country. Lovely, strong as oxen skin. My fall was early. I have failed to tame the beast in this here city. I'll be hunting down the pass till then. Tell me, honey, how's your family been? I flew up the coast in a jet airliner. Truly see the ones below.
dude.
That's how that goes.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Oh, thanks, man.
You're a very good rhymesmith. Just the way you're lying. Like, if I didn't know English, I would really like your songs. And I do know English, and I really, really like your songs. But if I didn't, I would still like them a lot, just because they sound really good.
Thanks, man.
It's hard to make English sound good, I think.
Well, you got to read a lot, I guess. I've been really stuck on Bukowski.
Okay.
Lately, yeah.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah. Bukowski is, because it's hard. He's like a free form writer, but yeah. It's really nice to find the rhythm in his poems, because where he chooses to make spaces and exclaim and do all that stuff, he's really good.
Yeah. Does that affect your songwriting?
I feel like it does. I feel like doing stuff like listening to spoken word and trying to find rhythm in it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there wouldn't. I don't think the speeches that have been made or recorded would be as powerful if they weren't delivered as strongly as they are.
Yeah.
I
have a dream.
Yeah, yeah. I have a dream that, like, if he didn't say, "I have a dream," pause.
Yeah.
You know, like the rhythm of that kind of thing is really important, I feel like.
Fourscore and 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I only know the first line of every famous poem.
Exactly. Exactly. Sorry. My fellow Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's where I draw inspiration. That and I hung out with this songwriting guru. He's the man, Nathan Moore. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
Everybody should know about Nathan Moore. I found him in a field because his brother was going to Peru, and I had heard him play before, and I didn't know what he was all about. I was like, man, this guy's okay. He's just singing songs. But that's where I sort of learned how to listen to words and yep. what good words were.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I started listening to music in a different way then, which I feel like is really important once you understand something. I mean, you get Dylan once you get into the words.
Yeah.
If you're not listening to the words, it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, that's a, I don't know. Did I just ramble on for about 10 minutes?
No, I don't think it's that long. Should we get to D real quick and play this minor slide?
Let's do that.
Tuning break. Okay. All right. We're in D now. Do you ever play in D position without a capo?
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
When do you choose to do C and D?
Like, I choose it when it's a lower register tune or when it plays. I tend to like the higher register, and my guitar sounds better capoed up. In all honesty, I usually use it for stuff that's in a lower register, I'll play a Shuck in the Brush or just stuff that sounds really good in that position.
That makes sense, yeah.
But I tend to gravitate more towards capoing up and playing out of C position just because I think the guitar sounds better there. But I've been playing in D position a lot more just because I want to understand it better.
Yeah, yeah. It seems a little bit more... A little bit more mysterious. Like you got the shapes. Like the C is just like, rah, rah, rah. You like barely have to move.
Yeah.
But D is like,
and it's really really easy to navigate the neck up,
right?
Up in C position. Yeah. I feel like, but no, I've been really digging on some standard G, D position tunes lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Let's play this.
Winder slide?
Do you say it as one word? Winder slide? Or do you say Winder's Slide?
Oh, no, I say Winder's Slide.
Winder's Slide. Well, that's what we're going to play. Winder's Slide. Not Winder's Slide.
I'll nail that one day. Dude.
You want this?
Yeah.
This is corny. All right. We got a tune again.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, we gotta go to A, though. It's the quintessential.
This is my first episode that I've done with, like, two cameras, so I'm not sure how I'm gonna, like, do these transitions.
Oh,
or it's
sweet.
Like, it's gonna be like, star wipe. Star
wipe. fade in, fade out.
Yeah, the dissolve.
Yeah.
It's gonna be some corny.
Yeah,
corny's are doing it.
That'd be awesome.
Just all Star Wars style.
Can you assign sound effects to it too? like shimmer, like somebody dragging a drumstick across chimes. Explosions.
Maybe some Tim and Eric stuff.
Oh man, I don't know if I know all the words of this one anymore.
All right, well, let's talk about it real quick before we get back in officially.
All right, let's do that.
I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't wear no greasy coat. I don't dip.
I don't chew.
I don't chew.
I don't go. I don't cheat. I don't lie.
Yeah, I don't cheat. I don't. I don't kiss, I don't tell.
I don't kiss, I don't tell. And then I'll just do the last one. We'll go through the melody once.
And then.
See them girls dressed so fine and got Jesus on their mind.
Alright, cool. See them girls dressed so fine.
They ain't got Jesus on their mind.
Yeah, okay, great. Alright, Greasy Coat. Where'd you learn this tune?
I have no idea. I think I learned it from Colby once, and then I heard it a bunch at a bunch of different festivals. I think I heard it at Mount Airy. I know I heard Vivian Leva sing this tune at Mount Airy, though she probably got the lyrics right that time.
Well, I like your lyrics.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Thank you.
Grease coat.
There we go.
All right, we got one tune left. We're gonna play Road to Malvern.
Yeah, man.
Still your favorite tunes?
Mine too. Who wrote this one? Jim?
Yeah, Jim Childress. I just met him this last Cliff Time. I got to play this with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was so good.
I bet he's tired of people playing it with him.
Maybe, but he had a good attitude about it.
Oh, did he? Sweet. Okay. That's what I was trying to ascertain from you. Because I was like, if I ask him to play it with me when I meet him,
is no, it? Definitely do. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, Jim? Right, Jim?
Yeah. Have you gotten him on your show yet?
No, not yet. Sometimes you. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, man.
Me and your little music parlor.
Yeah, the Brighton House.
Yeah, it's really good.
it's a good place to be. Welcomes any musician into its doors, I'm pretty sure. As long as you don't, you know, throw our couch out the window or something.
These are reasonable requests.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you have anything you want to, like, plug or promote or talk about? Shout-outs?
I guess I should give a shout out to Galen, who's doing a new project with John Carter Cash. She's getting ready to record a bunch of tunes. Well, right now she is. But by the time you air this, it won't probably be done and gone by now. But she's coming out with a new Carter Family record that she's singing songs about, and that should be really cool.
It's awesome.
There's also a Jubal's Kin record out there that we haven't released yet that people should look forward to listening to.
All right.
I really enjoy it. I was part of that. Also, let's see here. I don't know. I'm getting ready to make a record here in the winter. So
I keep waiting for this
record. Yeah, I know everybody does, man. It's just. You know, I'm just lazy and stupid, and I'm enjoying playing music with too many people.
I'm sure people just bug you about it because
they do.
We're really anxious to hear it.
Yeah, it makes me feel all warm and fuzzy, and it makes me feel like a dope for not doing it sooner. But I definitely want it to sound good.
Yeah, these things take time. Yeah, you gotta find the right situation. You don't want to force it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But let's play this Jim Childress tune. Is that how you say his last name?
Jim Childress.
Yeah, it's a good tune.
All right, thanks, Ethan.
Yeah, man.
Let's do it. Thank you.
Ethan mentioned a couple albums that you should definitely check out. Neither of them have been released yet, but you can pre-order Galen's Carter Family Project at iamgalen.com, and I'll include a link in the Facebook post and episode description. Also, you can like and follow Jubal's Kin on Facebook so you can know when their album comes out. My call to action for this episode is to share Get Up in the Cool videos on Facebook. When it pops up in your feed, click the share button and say something nice if you have the time. If it doesn't pop up in your feed, it's probably because you don't like Get Up in the Cool's Facebook page. So go do that. What are you doing? You can even click the follow button and say you want Get Up in the Cool posts to show up first in your news feed. You know, before all of the awful, infuriating things. If you want to hear and see Ethan and I play that Grigsby's hornpipe, you have to sign up to support the show at the weekly bonus track level on Get Up in the Cool's Patreon page. Just go to CameronDewitt.com and click the Patreon button. There's other cool rewards there, like weekly MP3 downloads of the tunes we play on the show, basically an old-time CSA. If you're a banjo player and want to ask me questions about how I play this riff or that run, sign up to join the Banjo Hangout, which is a monthly online banjo workshop. We just did our first one a few days ago, and we got plenty of room for more to join. Thanks for listening, friends. Come back same time next week for more Get Up in the Cool.